in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See, now I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Down in verse 18, Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading this wonderful chapter, 2 Samuel. Chapter number 7 is speaking of what is known as the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant, David's, the covenant God made with David. And it's one of several covenants that God made. And we think a lot of times of the covenant that God made with Israel, that God made with Jacob, the covenant God made with Abraham. We think of that covenant. But there is the Davidic covenant that God made with David. God made a covenant with him. God made a covenant, you know, in the beginning, he spoke of what Christ would do and how that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. But here we look at this Davidic covenant. I want to say just a couple of things, try to get my mind focused, some things that God had brought to my mind, my attention, maybe a help to you later on. In studying the scripture and reading the Bible, you want to see in the passage, who is it that God is speaking to? What is God saying to them? And then you want to see that person, who it is, what they're saying to God, or what they're promising God, or what they're praying to God. Then you want to see their character, but more than that, you want to see the character of God in the Bible. And we're going to see some things through this Davidic covenant that tell us some things about our God in heaven. Tells us many things about God. And like I said, there's a lot to be seen when studying the scripture. There are a lot of people that, you know, take scripture and they want to apply it to themselves and use it as a promise, when a lot of times God is speaking directly, specifically to someone else. And, you know, you want to see, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration. Find that inspiration. You know that God inspired it, but it also will inspire us. Given by inspiration of God, it is profitable. Now let's find in here what is profitable for us. There is a primary application, which means what God said and what he meant when he said it. Then there's a spiritual application. You can see a spiritual application in the stories of the Bible. Just like we've taken the children of Israel many times, coming out of Egypt as a type of somebody getting saved. Amen. And the blood on the doorpost as the blood of Christ. And it's all a picture. It is a spiritual application that we can see. And so look for those things. But mainly look and see what it is that God is saying in his word. Now I want to look at this Davidic covenant, and I want to look at the prayer that David prayed unto the Lord. That's what I want to look at in the service tonight, as God will help us. I don't want to wear you out, but let's just see how far we can go with this. Now, King David, after that God had spoken to Nathan the prophet, and you notice how that God went through his prophet. He spoke to his man of God. That the man of God would be, I mean, why would God go another route? His men would be useless. God called them because they were a vessel that God would use to speak to his people. And so it was Nathan at this time that God was using to speak to. He used Samuel, you remember, very much. Samuel was a voice for God. But I want to look at this prayer that David got to in verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said. So he begins to pray. He begins to talk to the Lord. Now, I want to say this. We can learn some do's and don'ts about prayer by looking at some people's prayer. Now, in this one, there's a lot of do's. There's a lot of great exhortation when we pray and come before the Lord when we read David's prayer unto God. There's some things that you can find. You can see his humility and that we should come humble before the Lord, shouldn't we? And his directness, coming to the Lord God, reverencing him, Lord God, amen? His reverence of God when he comes to him in prayer. So the things that we see about this prayer in verse 22, first, that we see God as the Lord God. Now look in verse number 19. He said, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? So God had been leading them for some time. God had been guiding them for some time. God speaks to David. He goes all the way back to the days when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he's showing David that as I led them and guided them, I can lead and guide you. We see God as a leader and a guide. Now, he is the planner of our lives. I mean, God said that, you know, he had spoken of thy servant's house for a great while. God had some plans for David's house. God knows what he's going to do with your life and with my life. Amen? God is a call. That's how God is. He works with us and for us. When God saves us, he is a revealer of secrets. In verse 21, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. David was in the dark about all this. He was a boy in the sheep coat. And God revealed himself and revealed the plan that God had for David. Are you listening to me? I was studying about Joseph a little bit this morning and looking at Joseph's life. And the place where I was studying was, you know, Joseph has advanced. I mean, he's already been, you know, thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, took into captivity, down in Egypt. He's already been in prison, and God has shined on Joseph's life and brought to pass the very thing that his brothers hated him for, showing that he would be the head of that family. I mean, that he would lead that family, that he would be a savior for that family. And well, they didn't want to hear that. Joseph was way home down the line. And so that was an offense to the older brothers. Now their Joseph stands before them. And he's accused them of stealing a silver cup. He planted it for a purpose and a reason. He wanted to reveal himself for them. And he even told his brethren before they yet knew him. He was questioning them and, you know, saying, you know, have you lied about this? And they said, no, you know, we've told you that, you know, we have an old man and he has a young son, you know, and this is him. And all these things that they began to, you know, really open up to Joseph about. And he said, now, don't you know that I can divine? In other words, that God would show him whether they're telling the truth or not. But when I said all that to say this, look at what God did in little Joseph's life. Look at how far God took Joseph. And how that he used Joseph to save the world, not just his family, but to save the world. He had put himself in the hands of God. And so God, listen, he is omniscient. Verse 20, and What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. Yeah, you better believe God knows his servant. God knows David in and out. God is omniscient. You see how that we can see some things about our God just looking at the prayer of David? Just listening to him talk to God. We can see these things about God. And so God has revealed himself to David. He has showed him that he has plans for his life. He reveals his secrets to David. David shows that he's great in verse 22, that there's none like God. I like this. In verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. Now look at this. For there is none like thee. As if to say, there may be many, but there's none like thee. But then look what he says. He said, neither is there any God beside thee. In other words, he finishes his praise of God and says, there's not only none like thee, they just nobody else besides you. Amen. You're the only God. There is no God beside thee. He's really worshiping God and reverencing God. He's showing, listen, don't believe the lies of the world, you know, that says these, you know, the God of the suns and gods of water and, you know, that's the way the Greeks did. They worshiped many gods. When God said, and even David right here, there's no God beside our God. He is the one and only true living God. David revealed that in prayer. The only God. A God that redeemed Israel as a special nation on the earth. A God of miracles, the God of Israel. He's the God of truth. Amen. In verse 28, he said, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. Thy words be true. So David, now he's looking at all these things. God had showed him that he had walked in a tent for 540 years, back in verse number 6. God's revealing himself to David and said, David, I walked in a tent. Did I say anything to any of the tribes of Israel about building me a house? I walked with Israel. I kept silent about a permanent house. I took you from the sheep coat to be ruler over Israel. Made his tribe the ruling tribe. Think about that. That before David was even born, that God picked a ruling tribe to be king. He was said in verse 9 that he was with David in all of his ways. He cut off all of David's enemies. He made David a great name like them, the other great men in the earth. Now, I look at all that, and here was the thought that come to me. That God never, no, listen, a lot of other men and peoples, that say that they maybe have a god or a deity of some kind. They're really more or less. Now listen, don't get me wrong when I say this, but they are beholden to give all that they have, almost as you know, it's not necessarily the god that they're worshiping, but the stuff they make for him. And God has not said one thing to any of them about making him anything. You know why? He's God that needs nothing from man. He didn't need anything from them. He was with his people. The God of the universe. I mean, he didn't require one thing from them. He walked among them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you look at all that. Now, David, again, let's stay in this prayer. Some things that we see. David began to question in verse number 18, who am I? Who am I? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto, or this far from where I was in the sheep coat, from following the sheep? Who am I? Listen, you need to really, when you come before the Lord, think about who you are that God has revealed himself to you. That the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, has saved us and put us into his family. I look to where God has brought me, to make me a minister of his word. I'm so humbled at times by that, it's hard for me to even grasp in my mind. But listen, just to be sitting in God's house, even if I was not a minister, just to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Who am I of all the people in the world that I am sitting in God's house week after week? What a call. What a blessing. What a God we serve that spoke my name. Do you remember when he called your name? The creator of all things that spoke and everything exists began to call your name and call you unto himself. Why? He's an omniscient God and he had a divine plan for your life, starting with saving you. Amen. And it goes way beyond that. Amen. Finding the plan of God. Listen, it's not just to save us, get us out of hell, save us from our sins. But there is an eternal purpose that God has for every one of us that are saved. Think about that. My goodness. To be a part. Who am I? David said, this was a small thing in your sight. To speak of his house in an eternal way. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? That interprets, many writers say that interprets, is this the manner or the law of man? And the word he used was ha-adam, or to say, is this the law of Adam? The law of Adam. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? In other words, the law of Adam, is this that man is just the way that David's life was? I know there's more into this, but listen, David knew there was a God in heaven. He sure didn't see this big plan that God had for his life. He had no idea. What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. What can I say more to you? That's an overwhelming. He's in awe of God right now. What can I say to you? I mean, just the thought of building God a house, and now God showing David, I'm going to build you a house, an eternal house, a covenant. God gave David an everlasting covenant that his house would rule over God's people Israel. That they would never fail a man of his house to sit upon the throne of Israel. And that'll be Christ in the millennium. But he is overwhelmed. You know your servant. Verse number 21, look at this. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. God, what he's doing in David's life is done. David said, for God's word's sake, and because it was in God's heart to do it. To make thy servant know them. It was in the heart of God to reveal this to David. And he was doing what he was doing for his word's sake. Then that goes to the covenant. Not only the Davidic covenant, but the covenant of Abraham, that everlasting kingdom and people. Verse 24, he said, for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people, Israel, to be a people unto thee forever. God had confirmed it to himself, his people. Redeemed them to himself. God made a great name to himself in redeeming them. Now, what does that mean? I mean, God's name was high and holy before man ever breathed it. I'll tell you what I think it means. God made him a great name in redeeming Israel, is that his redemption of them as a people, they now shall, and any man that does, will freely worship God in his name and reverence his name freely. To love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not because God made us that way or he is making us do that, but because freely we choose so. We have seen God in his name exalted and not high enough. I don't see God near high enough. The God that he is, our Lord Jesus Christ, I just do not reverence him as much as he's worthy to be reverenced. He's become the God of Israel. I can't finish all this. But I do know in the prayer of David, when David went in and sat before the Lord, he wasn't going anywhere real quick. This is one of the greatest passages of prayer in looking inwardly and at what God has done for someone that feels so undeserving. And every time I've ever heard any saved person really start thanking God for saving them, you can see that same humility. I just don't know why God would save something like me. Why that God has a divine plan. He's omniscient. He already knows it all. He's got a divine plan for your life. And it's not just, again, it's not just be saved and escape hell and make it to heaven. That's just part of it. There's a divine will of God in your life if you're saved. God's got a purpose. You have purpose. What a prayer. My goodness, what a prayer. Amen. Well, I thank the Lord. I wished I had time to go on through this. Look in chapter 8. This is it. I'm done for tonight on this. And after this, verse 1. And after this, what's after what? After God made the covenant with David. That's what. It came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. After this, God made that covenant with him, revealed it unto him, let him know what was going to, and then David began to even accomplish some other greater things. When you see the purpose of your life, you can do something. You've got the courage and the strength to do something. You know that it's not you that's doing it, but it's the purpose and the will of God in your life that will accomplish it. And it takes it out of your strength and my strength. Paul was able to make a statement when he knew they were after his life. He said, I will go to Rome. Why? Because God told him he was going to go to Rome. It was part of the divine plan of God in his life. Amen. I want you to stand this evening. I'm done.